For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for joining us on a cold, dreary winter Wednesday morning. If you're tuning in as we're released, delighted to be joined by... I've given him too many superlatives, so I might need to bring him back to ground. But monsters of the Midway via the Midlands, it's the Chief. How are we, sir?
I'm good, Sasquatch. Can't really complain now, to be honest. So, how are you, my friend?
Not cold, but as I think half the nation is at this stage. Obviously, we are sans the talents of Rocky. Unfortunately, just as a bloke, he's incredibly pressed for time professionally. I know you might be distracted by the quality of this podcast. You might go, is this not your job? No, this is very much a side gig. And unfortunately, life be lifing from time to time. So, out of respect, and the fact that we're also quite busy men as well, we're actually going to... He had sent on his Player of the Week, his Agree Disagree and his Must See TV, but we'll probably just bin them for the week out of a lack of respect for his personal opinion, I jest. I think we'll just go with ours anyway. So, look, as I said, Player of the Week, Agree to Disagree this week. The Chief will be taking us through, I think, a begrudgingly look at the Autumn Internationals, as discussed previously on air. And then I'm going to kind of give you a bit of a sports business one, maybe. It's something I do like to hark on about, and it's kind of the quality of the product we get as sports fans and consumers, particularly at home. And then we'll finish with Must See TV. I think my Agree to Disagree there was very vague, and I did that on purpose. Chief, your Player of the Week, who was it and why?
Well, this came from my must-see TV last week in the England-South Africa game, and he's always got that bit of spark and magic about him, but this week I've picked Cheslin Colby. His step back inside for his first try, and just, he's just a magician. Like, you know, I actually don't need to say anything else about him.
No, the only thing now, hand on heart, supreme honesty, I was on the gargle myself, so I missed the game in full. I did watch the highlights through bleary eyes on Sunday morning. From the highlights, I think you could have potentially given that 1-15. I think Peter Steph de Troyes, did he actually finish a man in the match?
He may have done. I'm not 100% sure.
I thought he was phenomenal, but yeah, no, we're happy with Cheslin Colby. It's just that little je ne sais quoi,
yeah,
or the X factor.
I think also backed up by the fact he himself and Peter Steph de Troyes have been nominated for World Player of the Year alongside Eben Etzebeth. So I think it's three South Africans and our own Caelan Doris then as well to round out the men's nominations. It's Yeah, I, to be honest, I think it's between any one of the three South Africans, and that's nothing against Doris. He had a very good Six Nations. He was good in South Africa. Probably been a bit quiet so far. I know it won't be judged on the games thus far, but
look, I think it's fair to say he's had a good year, but also a quiet year by his standards. I think that's a very fair comment given the heights he's reached at certain points over the course of his career. So no disagreements here. My player of the week, Buffalo Bills Super Bowl, obviously victorious over the Chiefs on Sunday night. In actually, that might be my must see TV as well. So a bit of a team here. Maybe we're very short sighted individuals, but I just thought it's a huge one for Buffalo. They don't have it. It's been described by many as Brady versus Manning 2.0, and I just don't think Josh Allen has enough of those victories to kind of put a stamp on him. Anyone who's paid any attention to the Chiefs this year will know that, look, they were undefeated going into this game, but there was kind of warning signs and a few maybe lucky victories. But just that call by McDermott for Josh Allen to ultimately score a touchdown on fourth and 2 yards, I think it was, on a rush to really seal the game. I just kind of thought for him, it was a huge moment. Now, look, it's regular season, and if they lose an AFC Championship game or get knocked out by the Chiefs along the way, it's all for naught. But at this moment in time, I just thought it was a pretty significant moment for him. So that's why I chose.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously, you have to get past the Chiefs if you want to win a Super Bowl. Be it AFC or NFC, the Chiefs are the favourites for a reason. They've found ways to win, rode their luck certainly in a few of the games. But yeah, I think Josh Allen was pretty good at the weekend. Good confidence booster for the Bills and himself. Coming up, especially with Thanksgiving only around the corner now. I still think I'm going to back my guy and give it.
And do you know what, Chief? Too often, you go the reverse and you don't stick to your guns. So if you're sticking to your guns this week, you've got to feel fairly strongly about it. And I'd be happy, when the list was given, I would have been happy if I had two gentlemen to walk away with it. So given the absence of Rocky this week, I'm happy to digress and give Cheslin the victory, even though it is effectively just a friendly. But yeah, I'm joking. I had to get a dig in somewhere.
So was the matchup. It was only a regular season game, you know. I will take this victory and gladly parade it.
good. So sticking with the union theme, Chief, what have you got for us this week for agree to disagree?
So this week I'm looking across to our Celtic neighbours, Wales, and the conundrum that they find themselves in, currently on an 11-game losing streak. Last game they won was in the World Cup over 400 days ago. And my question is, should they stick with Warren Gatland or look to bring in a new coach to develop and bring on this pretty young squad that they have? And if so, who do they even look for? There's kind of, in URC terms, there's probably two names that kind of stick out in my mind, and Franco Smith of Glasgow and Toby Booth, who is doing a great job at the Ospreys considering the financial constraints that the regions have. They're just two options. Obviously, there might be a couple of more out there, but yeah, it's like what do Wales do with Gatland, I suppose?
It's a difficult one. I think Gatland's obviously the first place you go, but there's a lot of issues with Welsh rugby. We've talked the town down about the issues affecting the regions, which you've kind of alluded to, and I think that's kind of the first place you go to fix. It's not just the case that, because the regions are so poorly funded, they can't compete on a squad level with the rest of the URC, but it's also it's now having significant impact on the player development pathways. Wales has enough kind of feet on the ground and enough kind of interest in the sport of rugby that's actually an easier fix than it is in, say, the like of an Ireland, where association football can very easily pick up roots, as can obviously the traditional sports, gay football and hurling. And in England too as well, you've got a lot of competition as well with union. But I think Wales has that distinct advantage where it's not a huge problem to fix it. It's just it is funding at the regional level. I also think it's not just Gatland. Watch the game on Sunday, intermittently in and out, kind of, as Sundays can be quite disrupted, especially before Red Zone kicks on. And I looked at the coaching ticket, and it's Gatland who, let's not be remiss, offered to walk away after the Six Nations. They asked him to stay. But it's Rob McBride, it's Rob Howley. It's the exact same faces we've seen over the last 15 years. And it's, one, there's an issue there is the funding also affecting coach development? Because I know you mentioned Franco Smith and you mentioned Toby Booth, and I'm willing to be corrected, but Toby Booth is an Englishman as well. So you can't name me a Welsh coach. Cognizant Warren Gatland is not Welsh. So should I be looking further afield? Is it worth picking up the phone to Scott Hansen? I know he's already had a spell with Wales, ultimately not that successful, but he did develop certain players that pay dividends for other coaches in Shane Williams, Gavin Henson, et al. And then the third thing is they also have lost an incredible amount of talent in recent years. You look at the names that have retired in Welsh rugby, and I think they kind of had that issue that there wasn't you look at what Ireland are trying to do. I think it's kind of, we're over edging it in that we're slowly bringing through players, but I think Wales just had a gap of not bringing through players so long,
and they've had some pretty lean years at under 20s as well, which I suppose, touching on your point there, like the numbers kind of dictate, you know, that rugby is still like a kind of an easy fix with fans and stuff like that. I think the recent success of the Welsh national football team has probably, there's a different generation of Welsh fans that have seen the football team do well and not seen the rugby team do well. And I don't know, like, football always like comes out on top in terms of audiences and stuff, you know.
And absolutely. And look,
I think, sorry, go ahead.
I just think in Wales, like, I lived in Wales during kind of some of the more recent glory years and stuff like that, and football was pretty much on top outside of maybe the valleys and stuff like that. So it's, football will always be number one, but I just think there's less of a distraction. I think it's like the Welsh options, and I'm willing to be corrected by any Welshman, but from what I've seen, it was football, rugby, and it was gym.
Yeah.
In England, it's union, league, athletics. These are the kind of sports that have the stronghold.
Having an impact in Wales, I suppose. Yeah, like, as you say, like, even GAA here is still 90% of kids go to sport because all their friends are doing it with the local clubs and schools. Unless you're in rugby schools or schools that like to expand on their sports and include rugby, you are predisposed to GAA from such an early age as a child here, like, and stuff, and it can be harder to get those converts and stuff. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting name, and I didn't say him yet, but maybe if Gatland was to step aside, and obviously he's no longer the Munster head coach, but someone like Graham Rowntree, like, he is definitely someone who's, you know, you've seen the benefits of his ability to play younger players and make make them better players, you know. Obviously, he was part of a coaching team that, excuse me, it wasn't just him, like, but he didn't shy away from giving the young lads chances and stuff. And I suppose the problem Wales have is they're all young. So it's getting a good ticket, you know, like a Felix Jones, like who knows where he's going to end up once his garden leave with England is played out and stuff. But you could possibly see like a Rowntree Felix Jones kind of duo going in there. I think they'd have, I'm not saying they're going to turn it around immediately, but I think they'd have a lot of buy-in. Because of given their backgrounds, like Rowntree, World Cup winning player, his success at Munster, like is, you know, a trophy in his first year. I know he's been let go, like, and that's another discussion that we've had already. But Felix Jones, a 2-time winning World Cup coach, it's, you know, like these are names. Whether the money is there to be able to get guys like that is another thing as well. So,
and that's the thing. You also look, just when you brought up Rowntree, like, you'd be remiss not to touch upon George's performance the weekend. And a former teammate seems to be doing a great job in Georgia, because they look good in the World Cup as well. Limited resource. I think they have something like 8,000 registered rookies.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Yeah, like they're punching above their weight, like in terms of their playing numbers and the, you know, would a bit of extra funding from World Rugby go amiss? Absolutely not. And give them a crack at the likes of Wales and Italy. Like I'd love to see Ireland play Georgia in one of these international windows. You know, like it's Fiji, for obvious reasons, the flair, they're always a good side to have. It's a team that you can kind of take risks in terms of team selection and stuff like that. You have your core guys, but you can try the new combinations and stuff like that. But you put up a young team against Georgia and you see how that pack is going to go. It could get annihilated, and it's like it'd be like welcome to senior rugby kind of moment, you know. Yeah,
welcome to international rugby. And look, it kind of feel like the opportunity is missed when you go to South Africa the summer after World Cup. Like, you know, do that in the 3 years after. Well, not maybe the 3 years, because I know you have a Lions tour as well, but I think if you built your World Cup window, for want of a better term, Tier 2 Nations, the summer tour after the Rugby World Cup, maybe look, it's commercially driven, it's out of their hands, then a decent summer tour, then a Lions tour. Have I got my ears mixed up there?
Yeah, so...
Minnows tour, Lions tour,
into decent World tour, Cup. Yeah,
and then
yeah,
any amount of fixtures into a World Cup.
Yeah, it's but it would, like, even like Portugal. I know the A team, the Ireland A squad played Portugal was it recently enough or like or they were due to play them and stuff, and to me they're more important fixtures, play against tier two nations rather than the Emerging Ireland Tour. Use the exact same players but bring back the A fixtures, like properly bring them back. I think they may be coming back next summer. I think there could be A fixtures next summer with for Easterby to take a kind of a squad on a bit of a summer tour while the Lions is obviously on and stuff like that. So that may be where some of the fresh faces come through, and then see them in next year's Autumn Nation series. I know we were talking about Wales and we've rounded back to Ireland, but it's all quite similar. What I like about the Wales situation is the youth that's in the squad, and they're getting that chance to develop together. And I feel in 2 years' time, this group of players, they could pose serious threats if they just kind of get a little bit more backing, I suppose, and maybe fresh blood with the coaches, fresh faces.
Yeah, I think you've kind of nailed the three heads of the beast. Like, I think it's sorting out that region's problem. Now, look, that's gone on 15 years. It's probably not. But it's an investment in resources. They have the numbers, so it's, and then it's maybe just a reinvestment in coaching and pathways from a regional level. Last kind of point for me that's very pro-Irish, but we've kind of discussed a few times, we're probably getting to a stage where we need to move away from central contracting. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if
move
Wales
towards it, yeah.
Move to centralised contracting. It just shows, like, centralised contracting has worked, but probably is starting to hold us back at present. And there may come a time in the future where we need to reserve back to it. And we should always be making moves that strong sporting organisations, regardless of the sport, make aggressive decisions. And someone's a bit lackadaisy. Look, we went over a bit on that point. Happy to do so. Anything to talk Ireland into a conversation at present. We're kind of scratching our heads a bit.
I thought you were going to say it to fill the rocky void.
It's what it is. miss him. But yeah, I'm going to maybe go a little bit off piece to what we normally talk about, and don't turn off when I utter the first five words. But Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. It's a lot less about the fight. Don't be worrying about that. It's more about the concerns of the streaming quality. I didn't stay up to watch it for obvious reasons. I do not want to see a legend of pugilism losing one way or another to a YouTube star. And I think at this stage, I was quite unhappy with the fight. Anyway, but a lot of feedback about the streaming quality of Netflix and how badly they suffered. This comes ahead of a series of NFL fixtures on Netflix. I forget the two teams involved. One of them is definitely the Texans. Mm-hmm. And their halftime show is going to be Beyonce. On Christmas Day, not a lot on, as we typically know. So additional viewership than what was probably experienced with the Jake Paul fight, probably fair to say. So I think they have got to nip that in the bud. But I think given Prime has been in situ with Thursday Night Football pretty solid since 2022. They've also, these parts, they do cover, well, in the UK, they do cover select Premiership game weeks. And bearing in mind a few teething issues in 2017 when they sporadically got fixtures, there's little or no kind of feedback issues. And I just think a company of Netflix's stature, is it acceptable that they suffered these issues in what is late 2024, soon to be 2025? And the second part of the question is, what does this say about the future of sports streaming? And obviously I said don't mention Dazn, but he's not here, so Dazn or DAZN.
DAZN. I just had quickly looked up, it's for the two games that they are going to be showing is the Chiefs against the Steelers and the Ravens against the Texans. So two, I would say, hotly contested fixtures, like potentially divisional leaders, you know, seeing how the next couple of weeks go leading into Christmas Day, they could all be divisional leaders going into those fixtures, and they need to get the quality spot on for this, because it could be a one and done opportunity for them. It's like, well, look, they'll throw money at it regardless, mm-hmm. and they'll get a couple of fixtures, but I think some of the streaming sites have had their issues, and like Game Pass and stuff like that is, look, they're technical difficulties, but the Amazon game seem to work, and it's like, if Amazon can make it work, someone like Netflix, who has been a content streaming provider for what, close on 15, 16 years, maybe more, it's really not acceptable in this day and age. I attempted to stay up, but I had one too many gargles myself on Friday night, so it was like, but I woke up to turn the television off. I did notice that the stream had stopped, and it was just buffering, like it was just a constant circle, and it's like, that's not really what you want when, you know, like for people to stay up, okay, it's included in your monthly subscription and stuff, that's okay. If you had to pay extra, you'd be absolutely fuming. And what you feel is going to happen is, if they get more NFL games, possibly Premier League games, depending on how it goes, that subscription price is going to go up. But if the quality isn't there, they're going to start losing subscribers. And that's why I feel they really need to nail the Christmas Day fixtures in order to have any future in the sport, live sports.
Yeah, I suppose for me, the reason I brought it up obviously is, I'm not sure where Netflix fits in all this. Like, obviously they're a great network for, they've obviously had a lot of success with their sporting documentaries. Drive to Survive being the real peak in the cap. And they've had other ones that just haven't kind of reached the heights, but have been very good, and the sports fan will always tune in for, like, his receiver
full,
was the
full
NFL
swing
one,
for start golf, fight, I think, was
the
it
one, full contact bend.
Something like that, I think.
Yeah. And there's a tennis one as well and stuff like that. Can't say I've watched them all, but you know, they do kind of ream it. But given the ownership company of Disney Plus, I think we're not a million miles away from them dipping their toe in the water, especially given the rates at which they could agree to those sports. I think Amazon has it in abundance. Plus, Amazon has so many other revenue streams to prop up the kind of investment.
You touched on it actually
sporting
last
coverage.
Year. The Amazon streams, obviously, it's like, it's going to be tailored ads and stuff like that. And it's like, so it's like impulse buying by the casual fan and stuff like that, potentially. And it's like, Netflix doesn't have that to offer in as competition.
No.
You
know?
And then, as you say, Disney Plus, like if you have access to any Fox NFL games, like the production is top quality. So you would imagine it's just going to be copy and paste into a Disney Plus stream, and it's, you know, like they could probably wipe out some of the competition if they do decide to go down that avenue.
Yeah, and look, I suppose the big glaring thing is obviously, it's like, just to be close to home, is the contracts. I think Sky and TNT Sports could be could be dubious. It's good to see. But yeah, I think as a sidebar and not too linked to the question at hand, I do think Netflix need to be very careful.
Yeah, maybe stick to the documentaries and that and the general TV and stuff like that.
Just the general TV.
It's been working, and sometimes they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And maybe that's a case here. Whereas, as you say, Amazon have all that backing, other revenue streams to and time to make it work. Like in fairness, they do a bit of is it the ATP tour, tennis tour? They do a lot of live streaming from that and the Champions League games and stuff. Now I've not watched any on it, but it's like any NFL game I've watched, it's been fine. Like, you know, so yeah.
Well, you know, the company that killed Blockbuster could be killed by Prime. Who's gonna kill Prime? Someone comes for us all. But look, that is concludes this week's agree to disagree. So quickly, Chief, what is your must see TV this week?
I'm holding out a little bit of hope after last week's last play defeat to the Packers, and I've gone for the Bears against the Vikings. There was a couple of signs from Caleb Williams, maybe not Eberflus as a coach, but Caleb Williams, he had a couple of signs there, and I'd like to back my team and go with the Bears against the Vikings on Sunday at 6 o'clock, possibly on Sky Sports.
Anyway, be thankful Rocky got called in, because I think he would have pulled you on that. But look, concept of the must see TV is it's just throw out a fix. You don't need to dig. I think you did a bit of digging there, Chief, if we're brutally honest. All you do is call out, we would have moved on swiftly. My must see TV is, look, I just think styles make fights, and the NBA hasn't, it's in that weird period where it's not, probably not getting the love it deserves, because there's a lot more pressing fixtures in the world of sport at the minute. But I do think if you're not feeling the early slate of the NFL this Sunday, TNT, I think it's 3 from what I looked at, but I'm not willing to stand over that. At 8:30, the Celtics versus the Timberwolves. Obviously it's been a fairly decent start for the Celtics. They're second in the East, and the Timberwolves I think are 6th, but Anthony Edwards is, maybe if you watch Starting 5, you're not a huge fan of the bloke, but as a entertainment commodity, it's hard not to watch, especially on the court. So I think that's a very good matchup, and it's worth a watch.
And that's all from me.
Yeah, that's my must-see TV. That's all from me. Thank you, and guten Tag.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.